Is it just a failure in imagination? Like, we can't imagine a world that has...
I've talked so much more than every other fucking streamer about issues that I have relating to how the media environment works. I've given the controversial take that I don't even think companies should be able to buy any companies in the United States, because I think everything is way too horizontally and vertically merged in too many different ways now. I think I've given the take for a decade now. I feel like I said this like a decade ago when I was still playing StarCraft, maybe, that I don't think media companies should be able to own entertainment and reporting segments, because the average American is too fucking retarded to know the difference between an op-ed and a reporter and a pundit. I don't think Americans can understand this. I've given these takes forever, but okay.
Like, nothing I've ever seen on CNN, nothing I've ever seen on CNN has given me the information that I would need to move the country past Trump. You see this insane CNN Channel 5 whistleblowing?
They had me scheduled to go on primetime CNN with Don Lemon and Caitlin Collins.
The movie's not just about, like, the Capitol riot and all that. It's also about, like, media echo chambers, you know what I mean? And, like, the dangers of the 24-hour news cycle, and how I think mainstream media, like Fox and even CNN, like, competes for views by running constant 24-hour news cycles based upon fear, division, outrage, and panic.
And I signed an NDA, but I'm gonna...
I remember that.
Break it anyway, but...
Based?
They had to give me this weird media training session, and it was like these 16 people I'd never met before, more people in a Zoom call than I thought you could ever even have. I had to get Zoom premium. All these people in suits, like, going through point for point, being like, you need to tell, if they ask you about Trump, say this. If they ask you about revolution, say this. If they ask you about your background, say this. Don't reveal that you're arrested for graffiti. All this weird and I'm like, okay, this is kind of strange. They had to break it anyway, but...
Fox and even CNN, like, competes for views by running constant 24-hour news cycles based upon fear, division, outrage.
What was this in reference to?
I signed an NDA, but I'm gonna...
I remember that.
Break it anyway, but...
Based?
They had to give me this weird media training session, and it was like these 16 people I'd never met before, more people in a Zoom call than I thought you could ever even have. I had to get Zoom premium. All these people in suits, like, going through point for point, being like, you need to tell, if they ask you about Trump, say this. If they ask...
Is he saying CNN told him this, or some, like, agent group he had told him this, or...
About revolution, say this. If they ask you about your background, say this. Don't reveal that you're arrested for graffiti. All this weird ass And I'm like, okay, this is kind of strange. They had one cool guy who literally had a Kangol hat on. I guess they thought he would, like, get through to me. He's like, yo, my man, so check this out. I know these people...
They deliver the deep state, like, media...
HBO? Huh. Okay.
Training to you in the form of an educational rap. That's really fucking funny.
These motherfuckers don't look cool to you, but they're cool, son. And I was like, all right. I was like, whatever cabal you're a part of, it's freaking me out. But it was only an hour, but it was mandatory.
Okay, so remember what I said about how I'm the only remaining liberal? I'm going to keep this up for a bit because I think it's a good bit. And also, I think it's true. Like, a liberal, like a capital L ideological liberal, should look at this and think it's terrifying, right? Oh, so you're telling me that in order to even get your message through mainstream news outlets, to access the channels of power and communication that so many people rely on, you need to sign an NDA and agree to a bunch of set, like, limited conditional responses when asked about certain topics, thereby, like, limiting your free expression? It's one thing to say, don't say the N-word on live TV, right? But this seems like a serious imposition on your ability to express yourself. And this happens to all of them? What if you multiply this by the, you know, a factor of their outreach and power? Every news network, every corporation, every person who goes on, you know, it's almost like you could use wealth and power and a near monopoly on both of those things in the form of media to create a simulacrum, an alternate reality where the issues of the day discussed by media men have almost nothing to do with the real world, where the issues they bring up and choose to focus on are at best selective and at worst outright not reflective of the reality. A great example of this, in my opinion, if you wanted to get something that Democrats would get riled up about, is the fact that under Biden, the media would not shut the fuck up about inflation, gas prices, and the fact that Biden was old and senile. But right now, Trump is more brain melted than Biden ever was. Every video, every shot, he just yesterday was explaining drone math, like how 600% less of $6. He's actually gone. He's been gone for a while, but he's genuinely, like, not presently there. Like, he's actually not. If he was not the president, he would be in a home. That's not a joke. It's very scary. And grocery prices are fucking insane. But in spite of that, how much do you see the media focus on either of those things? Because I don't. And I look at a lot of media. I mean, I look at the news pretty dang often, probably more than most of you. I do not see it that often, especially considering the fact that grocery prices are only going to get much worse because of the current crisis in artificial fertilizer production, thanks to the Iran war. Anyway, if you were an actual capital L liberal, I think all of this would be very, very concerning to you. But I don't think there are a lot of liberals, man. I think that there are a lot of apathetic people. I think that most people in America who vote Democrat would agree with what I'm saying right now. I think that if you took the average Democratic voter and you sat them down and you were like, hey, isn't this a problem? They would agree wholeheartedly. I do not think they would go, well, you need to look at the bottom line and what would you expect you could do and how else would you handle this and what else could you expect to do? I think they would just agree this is an issue. But I think that if I were to sat down like globeheads on Twitter or...
This cat was so good and I just bricked my cat with that stupid fucking monkey paw thing. Oh my God.
The Democratic Party itself, like their, you know, DNC leaders or their representatives, and I were to talk about this, I feel like not one of them would be willing to be bold enough to suggest a solution. You know, what are you doing about it? Your voters seem to care. What are you doing about it? You know, it's not liberal.
Yeah. So they told me I was going to go on CNN when Don Lemon was going to ask me about like my life and all this shit. And I get on and he goes, what can you tell us about the mental state of Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio in the lead up to January 6th? I'm just like, what the kind of snitch question is this? Like, I had gone, I'd embedded myself in this man's group, Proud Boys, for a long time. And I still had those active relationships. Revealing any information could put my life in danger. I just wasn't ready for it. So I clapped back super hard and I was like, actually, Don, the film is about how the mainstream media, including CNN, uses the cable news system to push partisan divisions that have led to events like January 6th by essentially pitting working class Americans against each other and pushing culture war over class war issues. And he was like, what the hell? They cut the segment short. It was never aired. No one ever saw this. I leave the studio, and I guess the CNN had a handler for me where they technically work for A24. Like,
I think a good addition to this. So obviously this should be horrifying. If you like democracy, like as a concept, this should be disgusting to you. This should be horrifying. But in addition, I think it's worth keeping in mind that CNN. So obviously J6 happened because Fox News, OAN, Newsmax, and other groups like that fueled, you know, they fanned the flames. They fueled this like insurrectionary sentiment with months and months of they're stealing the elections hysteria, which led to J6, of course. But I think that what CNN does on the other side in a lot of ways is actually it's almost more damaging. It's more pernicious. CNN doesn't do the equivalent of that for Democrats. There's no equivalent to that. There's no Dem version of J6. But what they do is they.
True. Do these people, maybe we all just are coming to the same conclusions, I guess, maybe.
Limit the scope of discussion to the point that the only way you can engage is through culture war sniping. A good example of this, in my opinion, I said this earlier on stream today, that the person who co-founded the New Liberals Twitter account, which is a centrist tank, you know, funded by rich pedophiles or whatever, that they were here. I'll just find the tweet because I think it's really representative of what I'm talking about here, which is Abdul Al-Sayed is talking here about how Donald Trump is not himself the disease. He's just the worst symptom of the disease, which is factually true. 100% evangelism and oligarchs and wealth in political financing. Like, obviously, this is what led us to this point. The idea that Trump himself is a total aberration when the entirety of his party and voter base has shifted to be like him, ridiculous. But anyway, this dipshit, Jeremiah Johnson, says Donald Trump is, in fact, the main villain of U.S. politics, not big corporations.
Oh, we talked to him. He was on the thing with Adam Mockler and me when we did our fundraising stream.
And that, I think, is the CNN motto. That's the line from CNN. They're not encouraging Democrats to do their own J6. But if you feed people this line, you are denied the ability to engage with the systems that produce Trump. You don't see how the sausage is made. And because you can't see how the sausage is made, you can't really do anything about it other than engage with the petty culture war gripes that Republicans throw out there. Destiny quote tweet in agreement. Well, yeah, that's the symptom of the problem. People uninterested in solving this fundamental. I think even Destiny has admitted that he's like really blackpilled about the future of this country. And he doesn't really know if this country is worth fighting for, if we're engaged in this like interminable cycle of like every 4 years, you have to barely win against these hyper fascists. And if you lose, the country like gets thrown back 30 years. But I don't think he's interested in the solution to that. You have to open up the sausage making machine.
Because the solution, of course, is overturn capitalism and socialist revolution. The natural contradiction of capital and labor will eventually lead to I like how these guys say that people like me say there's no solution. What's your solution again? Oh, overthrow the capitalist system and have the socialist revolution, which also very conveniently means that there's zero responsibility for you or any of your viewers to do fuck all because the solution is literally impossible. Nice.
Like, obviously. Donald Trump is not just a single aberration. He is a product of systems that allowed him to rise to the power that he obtained. But if CNN or Jeremiah Johnson or whatever.
I don't agree with that, by the way. I think that it's literally, and I've argued this on my stream a million times, I think it's just Donald Trump. I've never made the argument that decades of Republican media or politics practice have led us to this point. I've never made the argument that it seems to be the case that the Republican Party was more situated to have a Donald Trump-like figure than the Democratic parties. I've never made the argument that structurally Republicans and MAGA have a media that is like fundamentally different in nature to the Democrats. I've never, ever, 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 I wish I would consider some of those arguments. He actually gave some of those arguments a little bit ago, which is actually really interesting. I've never considered it, that one of the bad things about CNN is they don't actually give us a media environment that's similar to MAGA. They give us this weird cuck media environment that just prevents us from having like good conversation. You know, we don't have our own cheerleaders. We have to fight on these weird like culture wars issues. Like, that's actually a really good point that Vosh brought up there. I should consider that more because I used to just think Donald Trump was this like unique evil that spawned out of nowhere and somehow the entire Republican Party became captivated by him. And there was no reason why that happened. But wow, he's giving me a lot to think about. True. Thank you. This is why, by the way, I don't want to ever collab with any of these fucking losers or anything, because if you can't even give me like a modicum of good faith to the points that I say, especially when you're ripping half my fucking arguments, like on your stream, when you can't even give the tiniest amount of good faith to anything I say, it's just like, what the fuck is the point? These guys are all pedophile rapists of horses. He is a pedophile horse rapist, 100%.
Are insistent that that's not real. It's just a culture war back and forth. Then you can't do anything about it. You can't do a damn thing about it, man. You're lost. How do you expect? I've watched so much CNN in my life. I feel like nothing I've ever seen on CNN, nothing I've ever seen on CNN has given me the information that I would need to move the country past Trump. It's just, they just keep you locked in on that moment. 24, our news cycle, day in, day out. This is what's happening now. Maybe this is what should happen in the future, but there's no long-term plan, no strategy, no values, no ideology. Fox News has values. They're evil ones, but they're values. CNN just keeps you locked in the moment, nose to the grindstone. What's happening right now? Pay attention to this poll. Pay attention to this survey. Pay attention to this and that. News, 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 news. Info, 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 info. What does it mean? Nothing. Nothing means anything. What is it? Look at this. CNN YouTube channel, just a tiny fraction of the stuff that they put out there. What's happening? This is happening. This is happening. This is happening. This is happening. Da, 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 da. But you could watch all these videos, all of them. You could watch thousands of these videos. You could watch CNN every day of your life for years and years. It would not give you the information necessary to make the country better. Not one iota. Don't we agree? And I'm not even saying this from a lefty perspective. I'm not even saying, well, they're not socialist or whatever. It's not about the socialism. It's that they are uninterested in solutions to the quagmire. They're uninterested in them. They just cover what happens. They feed you information the way you feed goldfish. You just dribble food in. It's not meant to be used or to advance you in any way. It's just meant to placate, to sate, to hold your attention. Fox News differs in this respect. They have an actual ideological bias, a real agenda. At least they do sometimes. After J6, of course, Fox News actually retreated quite a bit. Fox News, it was like Fox News for so long, Fox News had dipped its toe into not just political partisanship, but open, I don't know what the right term would be, sycophantry, I guess, like activism. You know,
really,
for a long time, Fox News has been interested in activism, not merely covering the world, but changing it. And after J6, it was almost like they dipped in too far and they pulled back. They were like, oh, wait, hold on. Never mind. That was bad. But eventually they walked it back. Right. Eventually they were like, oh, there were no consequences for J6. You know, CNN doesn't have an agenda. CNN's agenda is to sell you gray sludge and normality. CNN's agenda is the deep states. It's Palantirs. They want the shape of your asshole as recorded by a scanner embedded in your toilet. They want money and power. They want you to worship Israel and go die for the IDF if you would kindly convert, circumcise yourself, and go over there.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I hate Israel. I hate all of you. I'm so sorry. You guys, we should have never, if I would have known that this would have been the one radicalizing issue that would have broken everybody's brain in the United States, we should have just cut it off a long time ago. Jesus fucking Christ.
And fight. They just want the people who are in.
It's sad too, because he's actually really based on Ukraine generally, I think. I don't think I've ever seen Vosh make. Like, and actually, like, based on Ukraine, not like it was Ukraine has a right to defend itself, but NATO was the reason why Russia died. I don't even know if I've heard Vosh make those weak ass excuses before. I think he's generally pretty based in Ukraine, but like the Israel thing is just so. Did he do the Azov battalion memes? Did he? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's his Polish background.
Power to stay there, which means, of course, that they can never really arm you against inequality as a systemic failure. Inequality is illiberal. I can't believe I need to remind people of this, but equality is a liberal virtue. It is literally one of the main three, right? You know, it's one of the big three the French were keen on.
Huh.
It's like the idea that opposing this necessarily makes you some kind of out of touch, naive lefty, when I truly believe the average Democrat voter would agree more or less with what I'm saying here. It's not like Democrats like CNN, you know? CNN would hate the French Revolution. Dog, CNN would hate the American Revolution, not just the French. The French Revolution went topsy-turvy. The American Revolution would, if you transpose the values of CNN today.
You know what? Fucking true. Fucking true. The Whigs, I don't even know what the fuck, I don't even know if they had a name for their political, the revolutionary people or whatever. When they tossed all that tea overboard, they actually weren't considering that now King James is going to have all the reason he needs to treat all of the colonists even worse. And it's actually going to be really bad that, actually true, 1,000,000,000% true, actually.
Back then, they would oppose it. Or at the very least, they
King
would
Charles,
have, you know,
whatever, Charles James, whatever the fuck his name is.
Object material experts come on to criticize the intentions and the behavior of Washington and his generals. They would, you know, pick into it, but they wouldn't really take sides.
Don't you think that when he crossed the Delaware, that now we don't really have a moral high ground of which we can criticize the Republicans from? Don't you think that's actually really bad that we like resorted to violence and like maybe we should have had more talks with them and heard their side out? Right?
They would not be active ideological advocates for an end of the monarchy.
How are we expecting them to negotiate with us when we've turned up the rhetoric so much by throwing so much tea overboard?
They won't when Ellison buys it. Yeah, I want you to go ask your average Democratic voter. Ask them, how do you feel about the Ellisons, these insane far-right hyper-Zionist billionaires buying CNN in addition to everything else they already own? Find me a Democrat who supports this. I think you'd have to look for a while to find one. But how often?
I mean, apparently it's either them or fucking Trump-affiliated people buying everything. I wonder if this would have been possible. Trump admin, they would have tried anyway. But I wonder if it would have been possible before. You know who really ruined all this, right? I'm showing my historical illiteracy by saying this because there probably is a better answer. But in my mind, it was fucking Elon Musk. That I just can't believe that we let a foreigner, really true too, right? He must have been a citizen at the time. But that we let a guy buy and partisanly run the largest like news-related social media platform. I actually don't know if it was larger than Facebook, but one of the largest social media platforms and run it and single-handedly like sim for Trump. That's just an unfathomable world. An unfathomable world.
And do the liberals, or Contra or Destiny, or this retard, how often do they talk about that? Like, I'm not trying to be spiteful or whatever. It's just like, man,
talk about what? Sorry, hold on.
Democratic voter. Ask them, how do you feel about the Ellisons, these insane far-right hyper-Zionist billionaires buying CNN in addition to everything else they already own? Find me a Democrat who supports this. I think you'd have to look for a while to find one. But how often do the liberals, or Contra or Destiny, or this retard, how often do they talk about that? Like, I'm not trying to be spiteful or whatever. It's just like, man, where are the liberals? Where's the liberalism at?
I mean, I don't think left-owned media is the issue right now in the United States of America. What do you mean? I'm kind of more concerned about Barry Weiss being fucking the head editor at, what, fucking CBS? Or every fucking news network? I don't even know. I need to go back and keep track of it. I didn't even realize that some of these were owned by fucking Trump fanatics now until I watched their slop reporting. I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
Isn't this a problem? Don't we all agree? It's not just about the socialism. I acknowledge that socialism is not happening today or tomorrow or the day after or the next year. I get it. I know. It's not popular enough to advance. And even if it was, God only knows how you'd get the ball rolling on that one. I get it. I know. I'm not fighting over that. What about, you know, liberalism? Is it just a failure in imagination? Like, we can't imagine a world that has...
I've talked so much more than every other fucking streamer about issues that I have relating to how the media environment works. I've given the controversial take that I don't even think companies should be able to buy any companies in the United States, because I think everything is way too horizontally and vertically merged in too many different ways now. I think I've given the take for a decade now. I feel like I said this like a decade ago when I was still playing StarCraft, maybe, that I don't think media companies should be able to own entertainment and reporting segments, because the average American is too fucking retarded to know the difference between an op-ed and a reporter and a pundit. I don't think Americans can understand this. I've given these takes forever, but okay.
Been carved up and bought by four billionaires? Is that it? It's all just capitalist realism? It wasn't like this ever, but now we can't imagine it having ever been any other way than what it is right now, which is the way it's never been before. I don't know. I'm doing the rambling again. I hope everyone understands, like, when I talk about neoliberalism being the big threat, it is because it is illiberal. Neoliberalism is the big threat because it has entrenched in our systems a set of incentives that are objectively illiberal, and that has done so very effectively and very deceptively, such to the point that liberals, people who 250 years ago would have pointed at this and gone, what the fuck? They know it's bad. Go back, go dig up the graves of Washington or Jefferson and ask them how they feel about the Ellisons buying their fucking 80th media property. Ask them how they feel about that. Just engage with it.
And even if Contra, like, I haven't seen her, but like, what does he think somebody like me, or what does he think Contra Points would say? Do you think there's a problem with these massive owners buying up these massive media companies? Like, I remember pointing out when, I think, didn't the Washington Post get rid of the Democracy Dies in Darkness after Bezos owned it? There's another issue too, though, in that something has fundamentally changed after Trump, and that even if a big buyer were to buy, like, a social media company, typically, you wouldn't imagine that one big buyer shouldn't be able to rig control from the top down. Because generally speaking, especially for journalist outlets, it's not usually how it goes. But bro, the era that we live in right now, you can do anything. I mean, we just watched the DOJ unseal an indictment against Comey that is the most bullshit fucking indictment in the history of all of fucking mankind. And we watched the seven wealthiest people in America or whatever sit for Trump's inauguration and all donate $1 million to it. Like, ugh.
Age with their writing, man. They made mistakes, too. It's not like I think everything they said was correct. I think that by and large, they were smart guys. I just don't think you have to be that radically progressive to understand that it's wrong for Callahan over here to be have his dick and balls hooked up to a car battery before getting to go on CNN and having the segment canceled right after, or the Ellisons owning everything. Or, as is pointed out in this bit on the Reddit that Thana linked me earlier, the fact that Peter Thiel is funding Clavicular. They own everything, man. Sometimes I feel like I'm going crazy because it makes me wonder if I'm like the only one who's not bought. Like, it makes me feel like a schizophrenic. All the independent media, the Joe Rogan types, they're bought. People like Nick Fuentes have been publicly associating with the crypto financiers for years and years. We know they have ties. He had dinner with the fucking president. Does no one else think this is a problem? Why are you not bought? I don't know. I guess I haven't found an article of clothing expensive enough yet to warrant it. Contra jerked off Hillary.
Whoa. Was that a Hassan shot? Uh-oh.
Destiny's gone to Tel Aviv to jerk off all the IDFs. I don't know. Is it everyone? Hassan's been to the red carpet, I think. I when I look in my emails every day, most of it is just people saying like, hi, but with 10,000 more words. Am I the only one? I'm losing my fucking mind, man. The closest I've ever been to the deep state is the founder of Progressive Victory has done work in DC. So the canvassing group was founded by people who have done canvassing. That's the closest I've gotten. It does make me feel fucking insane sometimes. I hope you all understand that. And it's at the worst part, I can never prove it, because I feel like it's one of those things, like, liars will always accuse everyone else of lying, even when they're truthful. Everyone else who is getting paid by Peter Thiel, they're probably looking at me being like, Vosh is still pretending he's not getting paid by Peter Thiel. I don't know what to say.
I said, this black box is all connected. And she's panicking. She's like looking at her phone on hers. I'm like, what's going on? And she was like, Time Warner C-suite is furious. And I'm like, who is Time Warner C-Suite? And she said, you don't know that the same people that own HBO also own CNN?
Yeah.
And so they looked at it as like an in-house beef. And I was like, no, no, no. I was just projecting my opinion. And they're like, don't you remember the media training? You weren't supposed to do that. She was panicked. They canceled my press tour right then and there.
It's just, yeah, I don't know, man. Wow. Like, no wonder our democracy turned out the way that it did. If we even have one. Managed democracy. No, it's not just a Helldivers turn. We never had a chance, did we? Maybe not. The last liberal. You've never had a true democracy. It's always been influenced by those who have the most assets. This is true, but it's also like, it's always been like that and always will be like that. Wow. But there are degrees of scale.
So
and
deep.
The fact that there has always been a bias in who has access to the media doesn't mean that the situation we're in right now isn't extraordinary. You know, American media did not used to be owned by 5 companies. It didn't used to be like that. Janet Mills just vetoed an AI moratorium. Cool. Like I said,
5 companies. How many companies own? I feel like it's like 2 that own all the maybe 3. I don't know. Actually, I'd have to trace it.
Has nothing to do with what the people want. The people are a completely like vestigial element of the process. She vetoes the moratorium on AI data centers, not because people want it vetoed, but because to her, the voter is an inconvenient, like adjacent problem to deal with. They're the wall you have to get through to get power. Her engagement is directly with the AI companies. They kind of treat voters like how a teacher treats students, not going to lie. Yeah. Anyway, do you think this represents the interest of the Democrats in Maine? Do you think the Democrats in Maine are happy about this? Do you think this has anything to do with the voters in Maine? Do you think that Chuck Schumer picked Janet Mills to be potentially the oldest first term.
Here's what I wish that, and I know this is a fucking pipe dream. This is what I wish would happen, okay? Tweet comes out. Tweet says, AOC votes against bill to protect children from being eaten by bears. Now they see the tweet and they immediately assume the dumbest thing possible and then just start arguing against it. Like, what kind of a world do we live in where you can have people elected to Congress like AOC that hate children and want them to be eaten by bears? Like, why not for this? Why not like just Google? Because also there might be something you still criticize. Why not Google? Why did Janet Mills veto Maine bill? Did she have a good reason for it? Maybe there was a good, maybe if you read the reason, maybe you'd agree. Or maybe she'd give a reason and it would be a real bad reason that furthers your commentary. That's actually even stronger than the point you're making. But like, why not? I'm curious. So Janet Mills has vetoed a Maine bill that would have instituted the first moratorium on AI data centers in the country. Now, if I had to guess, if I was being charitable, if I had to guess, putting a moratorium on AI data centers in one state is probably not very competitive. It's probably not good. All the bad AI and all the bad AI stuff is still going to exist, and it's going to exist in your state because everybody in your state is going to use AI. Why would you lock yourself out from having the AI data centers for it? If it's going to fuck your shit up, you could want to federally ban it, but just banning it at the state level, I don't know. Maybe that would suck shit. But I don't know. Let's see. Janet Mills on AI data center bill. Has she said anything about it? Oh, 4 days ago. Oh, she even has a press release on it. Oh my goodness. Let's see what she says. Maybe it's retarded. Maybe we disagree with it. But let's find out. Governor Janet Mills today notified the Maine legislature that she has vetoed LD 307, an act to establish the Maine Data Center Coordination Council and place a temporary limitation on certain data centers. In her letter, the governor said she supports a temporary moratorium on data center projects and would have signed LD 307 if it included an exemption for a project now underway at the former Androscoggin Mill in Jay. Jesus. Moratorium is appropriate given the impacts of massive data centers in other states on the environment and on electricity rates. But the final version of this bill fails to allow for a specific project in the town of Jay that enjoys strong local support from its host community and region, Governor Mills wrote to the legislature. The 2023 closure of the Androscoggin Mill dealt a devastating blow to the town of Jay and its surrounding area. As a longtime resident of Franklin County, I know well how critical the mill was to generations of working families and how important it is and how challenging it has been to promote reinvestment and job creation at the former mill, which is a Brownsfield site. After prior redevelopment efforts failed, the town of Jay worked for 2 years on a $550 million data center redevelopment project to finally bring jobs and investment back to the mill site. A 2020 boiler explosion at the Androscoggin Mill, followed by the mill's closure after the departure of Pixel Specialty Solutions in 2023, eliminated hundreds of good-paying jobs and dealt a significant blow to the local economy. At the time of closure, the mill accounted for an estimated 22% of the town of Jay's tax base. In recent weeks, the town of Jay and Franklin County commissioners and the Regional Chamber of Commerce have written to Governor Mills in support of the project. This project, which is now under contract and which has received several permits, is expected to create more than 800 construction jobs, at least 100 high-paying permanent jobs, and would contribute substantial property tax revenue to the town of Jay. The project developers are committed to revitalizing the mill site by utilizing its existing industrial buildings, water, and electrical infrastructure to avoid the adverse impacts cited in the bill, including impacts to ratepayers, continued the governor. In her letter, the governor informed the legislature that she intends to issue an executive order establishing a council to examine the impact of data centers in Maine, as called for in LD 307. I believe it necessary and important to examine and plan for the potential impacts of large-scale data centers in Maine as the use of artificial intelligence becomes more widespread. Given the serious conversations about data centers here and around the country, I believe this work should commence without delay, the governor wrote. The governor also announced today that she has signed LD 713, which will prohibit data centers, data center projects from state of Maine's business development tax incentive programs. Also today, Governor Mills informed the legislature that she has vetoed LD 1911, an act to automatically seal criminal history record information for certain crimes. Okay, so that so she gave a reason for it. Now, do we think that that's retarded? Do we think that it's bullshit? Do we think that she's lying? Do we think that something else is going on? What was our commentary on this again?
Janet Mills just vetoed an AI moratorium. Cool. Like I said, has nothing to do with what the people want. The people are a completely, like, vestigial element of the process. She vetoes the moratorium on AI.
Has nothing to do with what the people want. Does he know that the town of Jay, the Franklin County Commissioners, and the Regional Chamber of Commerce have written to Governor Mills in support of the project? Maybe he thinks that these people aren't representative of any of the people in the town of Jay. Maybe. Does he think that the town is against it and all the people in the surrounding area are against it, but these three things are in opposition to the people there?
Data centers, not because people wanted vetoed, but because to her, the voter is an inconvenient, like adjacent problem to deal with. They're the wall you have to get through to get power. Her engagement is directly with the AI companies. They kind of treat voters like how a teacher treats students, not going to lie. Yeah.
Like, you see how fucking annoying it is and how empty and baseless all of our political commentators are? Like, again, you could be opposed to it. Like, maybe there was a really good reason why they should have canceled the already contracted and already mostly completed data center, which I don't even know if they could legally do without reimbursing the company. But, like, maybe there were good talking points. I don't know any of them because Vosh doesn't even know what the fuck this bill was about. And he doesn't even know why she voted it down. Instead, they get a headline. He just did exactly what I accused him of doing, and I knew this before even reading it. I didn't even know she had a public statement about this, which he does, right? Like, he's not even engaging with what's being said. He just reads a headline. He invents a whole reality about how she hates voters and loves corporations and AI, I guess, fucking femboy robots or whatever. And then that's it. That's all we have. It's like, what is the engagement? There's no real engagement here. This is such, it's so boring.
Power. Her engagement is directly with the AI companies. They kind of treat voters like how a teacher treats students, not going to lie. Yeah. Anyway, do you think this represents the interest of the Democrats in Maine? Do you think the Democrats in Maine are happy about this? Do you think this has anything to do with the voters in Maine? Do you think that Chuck Schumer picked Janet Mills to be potentially the oldest first-term senator in U.S. history because she would do such a good job of representing the people of Maine? Is this all liberal to you? Does this feel liberal? Graham Plattner's body could be covered head to toe in Totenkopfs, and voting for him would still be more liberal than voting for Mills. He could have so many Totenkopfs on him, it looks like he's wearing blackface, and it wouldn't matter.
Like, so based, bro.
Political commentary, this would be one of the laws I would enforce. You should have an obligation to have some kind of confrontational discourse. It can't just be that everybody can go run off into their own.
Does anybody find it ironic that I'm responding to this, which automatically disproves his original assertion that I don't engage with discourse? The fact that I'm engaging with this in the first place disproves the entire, like, argument. Like, I engage with people that disagree with me all the time. Just because I don't want to sit in a Discord call and argue with you doesn't mean that I'm not engaging people that are disagreeing with me. Destiny is saying this because Destiny is a debater. Destiny likes arguing with people and debating them. I have no problem. I have engaged with multiple things that Destiny has said.
I don't care. You don't have to debate me. Fuck. Nobody has to debate me. I'm not saying you got to. Have I, in, like, the past, like, 6 months even challenged Asmongold to a debate? I know there was a time where we were going back and forth a bit, and I was like, fuck, it doesn't have to be me. It could be fucking anybody. I just don't like that people can live in their own little media bubbles. I know he's going to make this argument that, like, well, you know, I react to stuff online, but it's different. It's more sanitized that way. It doesn't really prove shit. Like, we've seen enough examples on my stream. Asmongold has probably seen enough examples of me doing this on my stream where somebody can make a video or whatever the fuck else, and it kind of sort of seems like they know what they're talking about. And then in an actual conversation where they have to defend their opinions, you find out, oh, shit, this guy doesn't know fuck all about what he supposedly, you know, made some video about. The whole point of the... I'm really critical of all the people that are like, you know, marketplace of ideas, marketplace of ideas. We need to have an open marketplace of ideas. Like, if that's true, the ideas have to, like, clash with each other, right? That marketplace implies, like, some amount of, like, flow between different areas. Not everybody releases whatever slop they want onto the internet on their own corner that's algorithmically reinforcing whatever view they have. And there's, like, no contact made with anybody else at the end of the day. That's
retarded.
And I've made videos responding to them. That's not good enough for him. He wants to be able to argue with you in a Discord call. I don't want to argue with somebody in a Discord call. I can listen to what you're saying, and then I'll respond to it on my own time. If that's unacceptable for you, then that's your own problem. But at a fundamental level, I am engaging with ideas that are disagreeing with me all the time. I do it constantly. I spend most of my stream engaging with things that I'm disagreeing with, explaining my positions, and talking about them. So this entire premise of this is just bullshit. It's bullshit, and at the end of the day, why would I do something I don't even like doing? Cry about all you want, get upset all you want, but I only operate inside of my frame of reference, and I only do things that I feel like doing. And if people don't like that, that's their problem. So yeah, if you want to respond to or say some sort of comment like that's criticism or anything like that, then I usually will listen to it. I do. I'll usually listen to it. And so the entire premise of this isn't true.
Wow. So brave.
There's orders, and I think that a lot of the folks that listen to that little waste of space twerp Hassan Piker, they don't understand that he's monetizing this, by the way. So he's saying these things that maybe he believes, maybe he doesn't, maybe he adds an extra layer of filth on it for a little more money. They're making money off of saying these disgusting things, right? And so he sits there in his little podcast mic, and to me, he's a worthless waste of space. However, the First Amendment protects his right to be a worthless waste of space. That's why it's incumbent upon parents now more than ever to know what your kids are watching, to have honest discussions at home, make sure that they're not watching people like that and getting horrible ideas.
Little twerp is pretty funny. I'm 6'4", 240 pounds. Okay. There are not that many guys that look like me on the Republican side. Let's be real.
There was one comment I made to Lab to break her brain, and it was that mid-Jew pussy comment, but completely, that was like the thing that sent her so far off the edge that she just could never come back from it. I think that if these Republican types started shitting on Hassan's appearance more, I think Hassan might kill himself, unironically.
Okay, calling me a fucking little twerp.
Did he just flex for the camera?
Okay, calling me a fucking little twerp is very funny.
Everything else, though, true. But twerp?
Michael Fusco Art, thank you for the 50 bones. God damn. Is it 50? 67 bones. 67. Oh, God. I'm sorry.
I'm not a twerp.
To the deep state. I thought we were talking about criminals.
The UAE leaving OPEC has anything to do with this war slash...
Wait, what?
Iran going on? You didn't see this?
No.
The UAE left OPEC today. They put out a whole statement on it. And I was kind of considering if this could be like a tangible win for the Trump administration.
Why would that be a win for them? Why would the UAE leave OPEC?
I'm not sure. Yeah,
that seems kinda...
They were saying it's better for their, I mean, they did a whole release on Twitter kind of explaining why, but they just say it's like better for us right now.
Interesting. Okay.
And OPEC plus. I don't know if that means anything to you.
Israel does have a nuke. It is against the, it's a violation of the nuclear proliferation agreement. They're not supposed to have one. Everybody knows they have it. In fact, technically, they shouldn't even be our ally because they have a nuclear weapon, but somehow they're above all of these rules. Now,
wait, but we have allies with nuclear weapons now.
I assume that there's some allies who can, or there's people who can have nuclear weapons and there's some who can't, right?
Maybe. The Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons opened for signature in 1968 and enforced since 1970. I wonder when it's claimed that Israel had acquired theirs. I feel like it probably would have been around then. I should do more research on
it. It was in the 70s, yeah.
Well, it was before 73, and I think after 67, so sometime in that ballpark.
Was this like a known thing that they were just doing it and nobody gave a fuck?
I think it was known-ish, yeah.
Because I think the only person I've read, or the place I've read that has done it fully in secret, but then gave it up was Switzerland.
I don't know as much about that. That might be true. I would assume it's true. I feel like I've read that too. Everybody was trying to get nukes in the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
And I think South Africa had gotten nuclear weapons. And I think Israel was testing theirs alongside South Africa. And then South Africa gave theirs up as well. And Israel didn't. Because I don't think Israel ever publicly announced that they had them. Although I think everybody knows that they do, yeah.
Do we agree, like, knowing what we know now, that giving up nuclear weapons was kind of a fool's errand?
For who?
With what happened to Ukraine? Well, I mean, Ukraine, obviously, right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, the issue was, I've heard different things, I haven't read this in depth, and it's going to come here and kill me. I don't think Ukraine had the ability to maintain or utilize that nuclear stockpile. I think that, like, all the launch codes and everything and the ability to, because they need, like, I don't know, Michael Sartain was talking about this, you know, like tritium to like reinforce the nukes and to keep them active and serviceable and in commission. And you need like missiles and warheads to like, you need missiles to attach a nuclear warhead to and everything. I don't know if Ukraine would have had the ability to use them or like to utilize them at all. I'm not sure. I just don't know. I don't think they did. Mm. So
do you think that having one is like enough?
Probably.
probably would be my guess. Yeah. Dr. Strange, thank you for gifting 6 tier 1 subs. But I think that, I mean, we want less people to have nukes, but obviously if you're Ukraine, you feel like you kind of got fucked on that, which is fair to say. Yeah. Like, not good.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. I definitely want less countries to have nukes, but I think going forward with what happened in Ukraine, everybody is not going to be, you know.
South Africa.
Yeah, that would be the message. Excited. Yeah. Is that, like, you should have nuclear weapons because otherwise you don't get any, because you have no guarantee that anybody will protect you now that the U.S. has just abandoned its place in the world, I guess. Yeah. We'll watch this real quick. Quick video, 4 minutes.
South Africa is the only nation in history to unilaterally disarm its own nuclear weapons. Others have relinquished theirs, like Ukraine did, but those were Soviet weapons they inherited and not their own home-developed ones. Given that no other nation has ever developed such powerful weapons and then just decided they didn't want them anymore, this raises the question. Why did South Africa give up its nukes?
So, oh my god, he said raises the question instead of begs the question. Good job.
First of all, a bit of background on South Africa. By the 1970s, South Africa's global position was complicated. The country was run by its white minority, and its government introduced a social system known as apartheid, which means separation. This system restricted the black majority's freedoms in the country. These policies towards the black majority in South Africa meant that its relations with its neighbouring countries weren't exactly great, with the sole exception of Rhodesia, obviously. As for its broader international relations, these changed over time. Its relationship with the USSR and the communist world was always terrible, whereas its relations with the USA and the UK were pretty good in the 1960s, but as time went on, they soured. Early on, the US also had laws which enforced segregation, but when these laws were repealed, it became increasingly less acceptable to maintain good diplomatic relations with South Africa. And by the 1970s, South Africa was largely isolated. Things were made worse when Portugal, who had been covertly supportive of South Africa, withdrew from its African colonies, leaving it even more isolated. And it was this isolation which led to South Africa developing its own nuclear weapons, although it took a long time for the government to come to this conclusion. Its thinking was that if its survival were to be threatened, then none in the international community would help it. Thus, the only surefire way of guaranteeing that the current South Africa would see tomorrow was to build a nuclear arsenal, the mere existence of which would deter aggressors. So, South Africa had had its own nuclear program since 1948, but this was devoted to nuclear energy, making economic use of the country's abundant uranium deposits. In 1965, with the help of the USA, it commissioned its first nuclear reactor. And in 1970, Prime Minister John Vorster authorized the creation of a uranium enrichment facility. Although he stressed that this would only be for peaceful purposes, exactly zero people believed him. In the late 1970s, events to the north in Angola changed government policy. You see, Angola was undergoing a civil war, which had seen the intervention of Cuban forces, which were in turn backed by the USSR. South Africa saw this as a direct threat to its very existence. And so this was when Prime Minister Peter Botha pushed to develop nuclear weapons. South Africa's first nuclear weapon was finished in November 1979. So by 1989, South Africa had 7 nuclear bombs of about the same sophistication in
1979, which would have been 9 years after that treaty was signed.
Yielded the bomb dropped in Hiroshima. An election in the same year saw Frederick de Klerk elected as president, and his priority by 1989, South Africa had 7 nuclear bombs of about the same sophistication and yield as the bomb dropped in Hiroshima. An election in the same year saw Frederick de Klerk elected as president, and his priorities were to end South Africa's international isolation, which would be done via internal reforms. To be blunt, apartheid's days were numbered, and it was his job to make sure the transition away from it wasn't too civil war-y. This transition would then bring South Africa back into the international community, which was more important now that the Cold War was over. You see, prior to this, the West could tolerate apartheid South Africa because it was fiercely anti-communist, but now the Warsaw Pact was dead, the leverage was gone. There was also one other reason. You see, with tensions running high, the white minority was worried about what the next majority chosen government would look like. To simplify further, the white minority didn't trust the black government with nuclear weapons and so got rid of them. With this inevitable change coming, de Klerk felt that rehabilitating South Africa would be easier if its nuclear weapon program was ended. And in 1990, he did just that. Within a year, all 7 weapons had been decommissioned. 2 years later, he announced to the world that South Africa had previously had nuclear weapons, but had also gotten rid of them. South Africa had just made history. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and thank you for watching. With extra thanks to these patrons you can see on screen for their continued support. And an extra special thank—
Wow.